We're continuing our series of sermons on the character of God. When we speak of character, what is it we're referring to? I'm going to use Webster's Dictionary again this morning to find out what we're talking about. Webster's Dictionary says, character is the peculiar quality or the sum of qualities by which a person is distinguished from others, that which a person really is. When we're speaking then of the character of God, we're speaking about the qualities of God which make him uniquely who he is. And the reason we're looking at these is because God wants to develop those very same qualities in us. God created us originally in his image, after his likeness. But the fall of man took away those qualities. God wants to remake us, to recreate us back into his image once again. We've noticed thus far in this series that God is concerned, he is compassionate, he is holy, but God is more than that. Today we're going to learn that God is faithful. Our Old Testament text for today is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. Go proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Israel was faithless. They were not following God. In fact, Jeremiah writes this shortly before they were taken into captivity into Babylon. And he's warning them, he's prophesying, he's calling Israel back to God, promising them that God is still faithful, that he would forgive them if they would only turn back to him. I want us to notice something else here in this verse. Did you notice what it said there? I will not be angry forever. Have you ever been told that it's a sin to be angry? Is it a sin to be angry? Careful here. If it were a sin, then we would be saying God is sinning, right? Because God is saying, I'm not going to be angry forever, meaning he is angry, right? I want you to notice very carefully. Anger is not sin, but what we do with that anger could easily become sin. Anger of itself is not sin. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible says it's that anger has a place, right? There's a reason to be angry. But it also warns us not to let that anger continue. Don't let it go past sunset. Don't go to sleep angry. In every relationship, there are times when we become angry. But God says your anger is not sin. But we need to deal with that anger. Don't let the sun set on your wrath or on your anger. Don't carry it on to the next day. So many marriages, so many relationships are ruined because we hold on to our anger. We stay angry forever. Jeremiah is illustrating that in reality, since faithfulness is a character trait of God, it is something we can depend upon God with. He is faithful. He will not remain angry forever. Once again, looking at Webster to get a definition of what faithful means, we read that faithfulness is a true and constant affection or allegiance to a person to whom one is bound by a vow, by ties of love, gratitude, or honor, as to a husband. It's interesting that God often refers to himself as being our husband. The church is to be his wife. We are the bride of Christ. Faithfulness speaks of his constant affection or allegiance to us as his wife. There is no relationship on earth more sacred than that of a husband and wife. Just as God expects husbands and wives to be faithful to each other, God says he too is going to be faithful to us. But someone asks, so God is faithful, what difference does that make to me? Why is it important that God is faithful? There are a number of texts, particularly in the New Testament, that speak of God's faithfulness and what faithfulness does for us. Let's look at just two or three of them this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is what? Faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you may endure it. What does Paul say the faithfulness of God does for us? He says, God will not let us be tempted beyond what we are able to bear, but when we are tempted, he will provide a way through that temptation for us, right? He will be there with us. Have you ever needed God's help to handle a temptation? We all do. We always do. He promises, because he is faithful, he will provide a way through that temptation. We can make it. We can be victorious because of his faithfulness. Notice he doesn't say he will remove the temptation, but rather he will go through that temptation with us. And we will become stronger through facing that temptation. You know, if we never faced any temptations, would we be growing spiritually? No. We need to face those struggles. We need to face the challenges. We need to see God's faithfulness helping us go through those challenges so that we grow spiritually. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, we read, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is what? Faithful, and he will do it. He will do what? He will keep you blameless and faultless. That's God's job. We can't do it by ourselves, can we? Have you discovered that, Jen? Do you need to be sanctified or kept blameless? Can any of us here be blameless on our own? No. But God says he is faithful and he will do it. He will keep us blameless. A few weeks ago, we saw that to sanctify means to set something apart, to make it holy. That is what God's faithfulness wants to do for you. But that's not all God's faithfulness will do. Notice what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Are you strong enough to defeat the evil one or Satan? No, we are not. But our God is. And he is faithful. He will strengthen you. He will protect you from the evil one. God's faithfulness protects us from Satan. We don't have to be fearful of the spirits and demons of this world. God has promised that his faithfulness will be there. He will protect us from them. So God's faithfulness is very important to us. It makes a lot of difference in our lives. But what about us? What happens to a marriage if Say the husband is faithful if the wife is not faithful. Can any marriage survive if one of the partners is unfaithful? It becomes very difficult, doesn't it? Well, that's where forgiveness comes in. You're right, brother. But it becomes very difficult if one of the spouses is continually unfaithful for that marriage to really flourish and go on. A healthy, strong relationship requires that both parties be faithful, does it not? So we see that faithfulness, once again, is a character trait that God has, but He also wants us to have. He wants us to be faithful as He works to bring us back into that relationship we had with Him before Adam and Eve sinned. We find another character quality that desperately needs to be restored into us is faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove," what?
Faithful.
Christ, during His ministry while on earth, told a parable one time about faithfulness. Can any of you think what it is? You may not have thought of it as being a parable about faithfulness before. You may have thought it was a parable about gold and honesty. The story is recorded in Matthew chapter 25. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 bags more. Also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Back in Christ's day, there weren't banks and safety deposit box like we have today. The safety deposit box was the hole in the ground, probably at the base of a tree somewhere. He took the gold and he buried it so that nobody would steal it, so that when his master returned, he would be able to pull it back out of the safety deposit box and give it to his master. Jesus is saying some went and used the gold to make more, but one did not. Now remember, this is a parable. Don't take parables literally. They are representing something. Gold is what in God's kingdom? Now if you go to heaven, gold's going to be pavement, right? You're going to walk on it, streets of gold. But in the parable here, gold represents really our abilities, our talents, our gifts. God gives them to us to use. It's not really a story about riches at all. It's about faithfulness. Being faithful in the relationship that God calls us to. The man who went on the long journey, of course, we know that to be Jesus, right? Jesus is preparing right here at this time in His ministry to leave. In fact, the previous chapter is all about the events that are going to happen before Christ returns. He tells us there's going to be persecution, there's going to be famine, there's going to be terrible things taking place on this earth. Men's hearts actually failing them for fear of what is happening. Things will get so terrible, it says, that God will have to finally step in and end it, or there would be nobody to survive. Almost sounds like the 5 o'clock news, doesn't it? Government not paying its employees this week, causing all kinds of chaos in people's lives. But we haven't seen anything yet compared to what is coming upon this earth before Christ returns. But this, right after Christ talks about all these things that are going to happen, He talks about the signs of His return and all of this, and then He tells this parable that we're looking at today. Back to the story. The man with the 5 bags of gold goes out, he uses it, produces 5 more bags of gold. The one with 2 uses it and produces 2 more bags of gold. What are they doing? They're using their gifts, they're using their talents, they're using the abilities that their master has given to them, right? And by using them, they increase them. As they are being faithful in their relationship, things are improving for them. They're becoming more and more productive for God. The story says that after a long time, the master of the house returns. He calls his servants to give a report of what they have done in his absence. This, of course, is a very clear reference to the second coming of Christ, isn't it? When Jesus returns, which I believe is going to be very soon, he's going to ask us, what have you done with what I gave you? What have you done with what I entrusted to you? Have you been faithful to me, or have you not? Do we have a relationship built on faithfulness, or do we not? Have we faithfully used the resources he left us, or have we just hidden them away in a safety deposit box to give back to him someday? Notice the master doesn't tell us, keep the treasure safe. It says he entrusted the treasurer to his servants, which means they were to make good use of it, to manage it for their master. They were entrusted to use it like he would have used it if he had been here. That's what entrusting somebody with something means. Use it the way I would use it. Produce something with it. Be productive with it. They were entrusted to use it like they knew he would have used it. The man with the 5 bags of gold is called. He reports, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But what does he say? Does he say, thank you for making more money for me? No, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. That's what he is calling us to be. The next man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, why did you only make 2 more? Why didn't you make 5 like the last guy did he? No, he's not comparing us. He's saying, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Same reward, right? Both of them. It's not how much we have. It's whether we are faithfully using what God has given to us. We get the same reward. Come and share your master's happiness. This, of course, is reference to come home with me. We're going to heaven. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have happiness throughout eternity. But the story isn't over yet. There is still another man to be called to give an account. The man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Here is an example of one who was unfaithful. Instead of using the resources given to him, he hides them away. Instead of a relationship of trust and faithfulness, here is a relationship that's broken, right? Fear. I was afraid. Here's what's yours. You gave it to me. I'm giving it back to you. And the master replies, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money out on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant out into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Faithfulness is not a choice. It's not an option you choose to have or not have. Faithfulness must be part of your character. It must be part of what describes you as it describes God. You are either faithful or you are unfaithful. That's a character trait. That's not a doing trait. That's a character. It describes the very fabric of what makes you you. Have you allowed God to grow faithfulness in your life? Or are we living selfishly? It's part of God's character. And it's part of the character that God created us originally to have. As we have seen with every character trait in this series of sermons, it is something that comes from having a relationship with God. He is wanting us to grow, to mature each day in our walk with Him until we actually become like Jesus. Yes, as I heard one pastor say, God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to become just like Jesus. God wants us to be faithful in our relationship with Him. We must be faithful in every relationship, in every area of our life. Our spouses, our children, our boss, our teacher, everyone who knows us should be able to trust that we will be faithful. We will do what we say we will do because we are faithful. It should be that much a part of us that everyone will know when they see us, here is a faithful person. Here is someone I can trust. Just as you can trust God, may He be able to trust you. Father God, we thank You that You are faithful, that we can depend upon You, that we can trust You, and that You will be with us. But even more importantly, You want to develop that faithfulness in us. May we allow You again today to come in and create clean hearts within us, renew right spirits. May we be faithful in all that we do, in all that we say. We pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.